This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. All praise is due to Allah, and may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and upon all those who follow his footsteps, who follow his way, who follow his methodology until the last day. Respected brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Today, inshaAllah ta'ala, we are exploring another chapter from amongst the chapters of Riyadu al-Salihin by Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullahu ta'ala. And Imam al-Nawawi entitles this chapter as Babu tahreem al-Zulmi wal-Amri bi-Raddi al-Mazalim. That is the chapter pertaining to unlawfulness, the unlawfulness of oppression, the unlawfulness of oppression and restoring others' rights. And basically, the lecture today is about beware of oppression. Beware of oppression. And the word for oppression in Arabic is dhulm, dhulm. And the one who oppresses others is a zalim. One who is oppressing somebody else is a zalim. Zalim coming from zulm. And the one who is on the receiving end of oppression, the one who is on the receiving end, the recipient of oppression, is known as the mazlum. Mazlum. The one who is being oppressed. So there is zulm, there is the zalim, and there is the mazlum. Now, zulm linguistically means a shortfall or falling short regarding something, being deficient. Now, when we look at it in the context of the Sharia, when we look at zulm in the context of Islam, it's about not carrying out an action towards somebody. Or for example, leaving off something that is obligatory upon you. So you could be behaving in a certain manner towards someone that is unlawful, or you may not be fulfilling the rights of somebody. That is both, yani, zulm. When it comes to zulm, when it comes to oppression, there's two types of zulm. There's zulm that is to do with the rights of Allah Azza wa Jal. So one could be committing zulm when it comes to the rights of Allah Azza wa Jal. Likewise, one can be committing zulm when it comes to the rights of people. So there's the rights of Allah, the rights of our Creator, God Almighty, and there's the rights of people. So these are the two areas where people are likely to commit oppression. Now, the greater of the two, obviously, is oppression committed towards Allah Azza wa Jal. The oppression that we commit towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in Sahih Bukhari, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was asked about which sin is the gravest, or which sin is the greatest, which sin is most great in the sight of Allah Azza wa Jal. Ayyu dhanbi a'zam? This is the question he was asked, which sin is greatest? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he responded by saying, an taj'ala lillahi niddan wa huwa khalaqaka, that you associate or you ascribe a partner, an equal to Allah, whilst He is the one who created you. How can you ascribe a partner to Allah when Allah Azza wa Jal is the creator? He's the creator of the heavens and the earth and all that is in between them. So the most serious of offenses in Islam is shirk. Is shirk. And that is polytheism. And associating a partner with God Almighty. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may pardon a person of any sin except for shirk. Except for shirk. So if you die having committed so many different types of major sins and minor sins, you may be forgiven. But one sin that you will never be forgiven of or for which warrants eternal punishment in the hellfire, perpetual punishment in the hellfire, is the crime of shirk, having associated a partner with Allah Azza wa Jal. So this is the biggest form of oppression. The biggest form of oppression is that you do not believe fully and wholeheartedly in monotheism, that Allah Azza wa Jal, and we call this in Arabic, we call this Tawheed. So there needs to be firm belief in the oneness of Allah Azza wa Jal. Next type of oppression comes or has been committed when it comes to major sins. Such as what? Such as, zina, adultery or fornication, such as theft, such as not being dutiful to one's parents, such as dealing with riba, usury. And there are books written about the major sins. Imam Al-Dhahabi rahimahullah ta'ala, he enumerates about 70 of them, 70 major sins in his book, The Major Sins. So when you are committing these sort of sins, you are committing an oppression towards yourself. So yes, we can go back and say that many of us are oppressing ourselves in many ways. And we are by not fulfilling the commands of Allah Azza wa Jal and the teachings of Allah Azza wa Jal. And some of us are committing oppression by not giving the rights to others. Then next comes minor sins. Minor sins are also a form of oppression. Now, so we go on and we talk about oppressing the rights of Allah. When it comes to having oppression also revolves around three matters that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam clearly defined and outlined in his farewell sermon, which is known as Khutbatul Wada'. During Khutbatul Wada', which is the sermon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave when he was on the mountain of Arafat, he gave a very penetrating sermon. And remembering that this was like one of those, a mother of sermons, given that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was going to, his death was coming near because he passed away in the following year. So during this sermon, he had in front of him, over 120,000 Muslims. Over 120,000 Muslims that he captured their hearts during a period of 23 years of prophethood. And in Sahih Bukhari, we capture one aspect of this sermon whereby he said, "Inna dima'akum wa amwalakum wa a'radakum haramun alaykum." That basically, and then he goes on and he says, "Kahurmati yawmikum hadha fi shahrikum hadha fi baladikum hadha." He said, "O people, that indeed your dima', your lives," okay, dima', it comes from the word blood, okay, dam, dima'akum, your lives and your honor and your property or the property of every Muslim is sacred. It's sacred. Three things: the lives of people, people's honor, and people's wealth are sacred in Islam. They are not to be violated. There is to be no violations committed regarding them. And he said, just as you regard this month as being sacred. Which month was he referring to? Dhul-Hijjah. Dhul-Hijjah, the month of Hajj, is one of the sacred months. كَشَهْرِكُمْ هَذَا. And he said, as this day is, and this day was the day of Arafah, and Arafah is the most sacred day of the year. كَيَوْمِكُمْ هَذَا فِي بَلَدِكُمْ هَذَا, in this city of yours, which is Mecca. Mecca, in Islam, is considered the holy city, a very sacred city. The city in which is the birth of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The city of the Kaaba, where the Muslims from all around the globe face for their five daily prayers. So he's saying to them, well, just as you recognize this month as being sacred, and this day as being sacred, and this this city as being sacred, Likewise, your lives and your honor and your wealth as Muslims is also sacred in the eyes of Allah Azza wa Jalla, in the sight of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. So, when it comes to our lives, what does that mean? What does it mean, dima'akum, your lives? Well, here, the Prophet ﷺ is warning against violating the rights of others by afflicting bodily harm, whether it be killing, or whether it be injuring others, or whether it be physical abuse. This is not allowed in Islam. Okay, you cannot commit these acts towards other people, other Muslims. And he said, "A'radakum." Your ard is your honor. Your honor. People's honor. People have an honor. And again, you may be violating people's honor by, for example, having an illicit relationship with them. You know, such as zina, fornication, adultery. Major sins in Islam. Okay, in Islam, you're not allowed to have intimate relations, intercourse, okay, unless you are married. So Islam is against girlfriend, boyfriend relationships. These are extramarital relationships, and they are shunned in Islam, and they are not allowed. Likewise, when it comes to honor, there's something known as al-qadh, which is false accusation. That you accuse someone of having committed something that they, without any evidence, sound evidence and proof. This is also damaging people's honor. So this is not allowed in Islam. Likewise, people's wealth, amwalakum, people's wealth is not to be, there is to be no committing of violation when it comes to people's wealth. And for example, by not paying someone what is rightfully theirs, or spending, for example, wealth on prohibitions, or refraining from giving wealth to whom it is obligated upon you to spend wealth. So for example, if you are a father, or if you are a husband, you are obligated to spend on your wife. You are obligated to spend on your children. Okay? If you are a person who has met the requirements of zakah, which is the third pillar of Islam, then you have an obligation to give zakat money, or 2.5% of your annual savings that reaches the nisab, that reaches the minimum threshold, that you give it to one of the eight deserving recipients of zakah. This is what it means here, not to be committing oppression when it comes to your amwal, when it comes to the wealth. Okay? Likewise, if you owe, for example, money to someone, and by the way, when it comes to loans, it's very important that you are very transparent in your loan. Don't just enter into a loan transaction without there being clarity. So you say, look, okay, I'm borrowing from you $100, okay, and I'm going to pay it back to you by this date. Now you need to honor that agreement. And if that person, if the creditor comes to you and seeks his money, then you have an obligation to pay him his money. If you're in a difficult circumstance, then explain to him your circumstance. Otherwise, don't delay. Because by you delaying, you have committed oppression. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the hadith that is found in Sahih Bukhari, he said, matlul ghaniy dhulm, matlul ghani. When you delay, the person who is ghani, in other words, the person here, the creditor, if you are delaying the creditor, his wealth that is due to him, this is oppression. So be careful. Make sure that when you come to repay your debts, that you pay them back on time and don't delay. Don't delay. Treat debts very seriously. And inshallah, we'll talk about this in a moment when we read some of the hadiths that Imam al-Nawawi chose in this topic. In this chapter. So all forms of oppression, brothers and sisters in Islam, are haram. And the oppressor, the zalim, the oppressor, will find no one to make him victorious or to aid him on the day of judgment. Listen to this, these two verses from the Quran that talk about this. In Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 270, Allah Azza wa Jal, He says, وَمَا لِلظَّالِمِينَ مِنْ أَنصَارٍ وَمَا لِلظَّالِمِينَ مِنْ أَنصَارٍ ظَالِمِينَ is the plural of a ظَالِم, an oppressor. ظَالِمِينَ or ظَالِمُونَ. So, and the wrongdoers or the oppressors will have no helpers, no ansar, no helpers on the Day of Judgment. So, on the Day of Judgment, the oppressor, the zalim, will find no helper or no friend to save him or to save her from the punishment of Allah Azza wa Jal because of their zulm. And they will have no shafi'. A shafi' is an intercessor, someone to come and to intercede between you and between Allah Azza wa Jal. Why? This person is outrightly rejected because of his oppression. That's why this is a very important topic. Because oppression is going to be serious darkness for that person on the Day of Judgment. It's going to be very, very dark for that person. Okay? And in the ayah which is found in Surah Ghafir, verse 18, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَا لِلظَّالِمِينَ مِنْ حَمِيمٍ وَلَا شَفِيعٍ يُطَاعٍ. For the oppressors, there will be no devoted friend, nor intercessor who is obeyed. Nobody will obey you. Okay? So therefore, the matter is very serious when it comes to al-dhulam and when it comes to oppression. Now, I just want to begin... And these are the two ayat, by the way, that Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullahu ta'ala, he commenced his chapter with. These two ayat, that there will be no friend nor an intercessor for the zalimun, and that for the zalimun, okay, there is no helper. Now, let's begin now and share with you some of the ahadith, some of the prophetic traditions that deal with the topic of oppression. This hadith here warns us about being oppressive and being stingy. Stinginess. Ash-shuh. It's the hadith of Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhu. It's found in Sahih Muslim. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, beware of injustice. Ittaqu al-dhulm. Beware of injustice. Fa'inna al-dhulma dhulumatun yawm al-qiyamah. He said, beware of injustice, for oppression will be darkness on the day of resurrection. It will be darkness for that person on the day of resurrection. And beware of stinginess, because it doomed those who were before you. It incited them to shed blood and treat the unlawful as lawful. So again, a warning of being stingy, especially when it comes to fulfilling your obligations, your financial obligations, towards those who are deserving of your financial obligation. Another hadith teaches us that on the Day of Judgment, that even animals will take back what is due for them if they were oppressed in this dunya. Even an animal who does not have a aql, who does not have the faculty of intellect, if that animal was oppressed by another animal, then that animal can take back its right on the Day of Judgment. So in saying that, what can be said about human beings taking back their rights? Listen to the hadith. And the hadith is found in Sahih Muslim. Hadith Abi Huraira radiallahu anhu wa arda. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, on the resurrection day, the rights will be paid to those to whom they are due. So much so that a hornless sheep will be retaliated for by punishing the horned sheep which broke its horns. Okay? To that extent. Okay? So this hadith makes it abundantly clear, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, that there will be utmost justice on the Day of Judgment. Allah Azza wa Jal is the all just. He has to be. He's all perfect. Allah Azza wa Jal does not oppress anybody. Everyone will be given what is rightfully theirs. Okay? And so much so that Allah will redress even the grievance of aggressed animals against their aggressors. Another hadith, a very interesting hadith, This is a hadith whereby the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he gives penetrating words again to do with the blood and the properties of people and how they are inviolable. And I mentioned something earlier about this. The hadith is hadith of Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, may Allah be pleased with Abdullah and his father Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhuma. And the hadith is found in Sahih Bukhari. It says here, we were talking about the farewell pilgrimage without knowing what was it when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was also present. And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he stood up and he recited the praise and glorification of Allah. He then gave a detailed account of Ad-Dajjal. He gave a detailed account of Ad-Dajjal. And he said, every account of Ad-Dajjal, and he said, every prophet sent by Allah had warned his people against his mischief. Nuh alayhi salam warned his nation. And so did all the prophets after him. If he, in other words, Ad-Dajjal, appears among you, his condition will not remain hidden from you. Your Rabb, meaning your Lord, is not one-eyed. Your Rabb is not one-eyed, but Ad-Dajjal is. Ad-Dajjal is one-eyed, in other words. His right eye is protruding like a swollen grape. Listen, Allah has made your blood and your properties as inviolable as of this day of yours, in this city of yours, in this month of yours. Listen, have I conveyed Allah's message to you? The people replied in affirmative. Thereupon he said, O Allah, he said, Allahumma, he said, Ala hal balaght, have I conveyed Allah's message to you? And he said then, Allahumma ashhad. When the people affirmed, they said, yes, you have. He said it three times. Allah, you are my witness, O Allah. You are my witness, you are my witness that I have conveyed the message. And he concluded and he said, do not revert after me as infidels killing one another. So again, there is a warning about killing one another. So again, this hadith talks about Ad-Dajjal. It talks about, you know, not being oppressive. And it talks about to the extent of, you know, not entering into internal wars. Okay? And that this can actually lead to infidelity. It could lead to kufr, to disbelief. Nas'Allah as-salamu wal-afiyah. The next hadith is about claiming something wrongfully. If you claim something wrongfully, this is a form of oppression. This hadith is the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha wa ardaha, and it's found in both Bukhari and Muslim. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, whoever usurps unlawfully, even a hand span of land, if you occupy a hand span of land that is not yours, this is the word usurp, a collar measuring seven times the land that you usurp, will be placed around his neck on the day of resurrection. So this hadith tells us that even a minor injustice to anybody in this world can cause great trouble for you on the Day of Judgment. So be careful not to take the people's rights. If something is not yours, okay, then beware. You could be punished severely as a result of taking it wrongfully on the Day of Judgment. Now, also, we find in the next hadith that Allah Azza wa Jal, He gives respite, but does not neglect the oppressor. Inna Allah yumhilu wa la yuhmil. He gives you respite, but he doesn't neglect you. He never neglects the oppressor. Listen to the hadith of Abu Musa radiallahu anhu that is found in Bukhari and Muslim. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, verily Allah gives respite to the oppressor, but when he seizes him, he does not let him escape. Then he recited, وَكَذَٰلِكَ أَخْذُ رَبِّكَ إِذَا أَخَذَ الْقُرَى وَهِيَ ظَالِمَةٌ إِنَّ أَخْذَهُ أَلِيمٌ شَدِيدٌ. Allah says, and this is what the Prophet ﷺ recited, such is the seizure of your Rabb. When he seizes the population of towns while they are doing wrong, verily his seizure is painful and severe. Also, beware, brothers and sisters in Islam, of the supplication of the dua of the mazlum. If you oppress someone, guess what? They may supplicate against you. They may make dua and say, oh Allah, please, I want you to harm such and such because of the oppression that they have caused on me. Now, of course, we say as Muslims, we should be forgiving and we should be always looking at, this is one of the characteristics of the believer, is that he is one who pardons. But not everybody is going to have that willpower and that strength. So there are some people, if you've oppressed them, they're not going to forgive you. They're not going to be easygoing. So listen to this hadith. It's the hadith of Mu'adh radiallahu anhu wa arda, and it's found in Bukhari and Muslim. And this is when the hadith whereby the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he sent Mu'adh ibn Jabal to Yemen to invite them to Islam. So he was like the agent of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he sent him to Yemen to invite the people there to Islam. Just as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he sent many others to different parts of, to different cities at that time to invite them to Islam. Now he says to Mu'adh ibn Jabal, he says to him, you will go to the people of the book. In other words, they could have been Christians or Jews, people of the book. He said, first call them to testify that there is no true God worthy of worship except Allah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. This is the first thing. He said, look, if they obey you and they accept this invitation to worship only one God, Allah Azza wa Jal, then, he said, then tell them that Allah has enjoined upon them five prayers during the day and night. And if they obey you, inform them that Allah has made zakat obligatory upon them, that it should be collected from their rich and distributed among their poor. And if they obey you, refrain from picking up as a share of zakat the best of their wealth. He goes on and he says, beware of the supplication of the oppressed. For there is no barrier between it and Allah. There is no barrier between the supplication of an oppressed person and Allah. It can go straight up there and Allah can accept that dua. That's why you don't want to oppress anybody. You see, you may commit a wrong towards Allah Azza wa Jalla. Okay, you didn't pray on time, you missed your prayer, you delayed your zakat, you haven't paid your zakat or whatever it is. Didn't fast a day in Ramadan. That's between you and Allah. He may forgive you. Okay? But when you come now to oppress somebody else, that somebody else can either harm you through their dua, because they are oppressed, or they may take their right from you on the Day of Judgment. It's easier to do a wrongdoing that is between you and Allah than to do a wrongdoing between you and somebody else. Allah can forgive you, but that person may not forgive you. It's very, very important point here. Be careful how you deal with people, how you talk to people, what comes into this is backbiting people and slandering people and, malicious gossip. These are all vices that are not allowed in Islam. Haram. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said to Mu'adh ibn Jabal, he said to him, وَاتَّقِي دَعْوَةَ الْمَظْلُومِ فَإِنَّهُ لَيْسَ بَيْنَهَا وَبَيْنَ اللَّهِ حِجَابٌ. There is no barrier between the supplication of the oppressed and Allah Azza wa Jal. There is a warning there. There is, the next hadith talks about, there is a warning about bribes. In Islam, bribery is haram. You are not allowed to bribe people. Be careful when it comes to bribes. You see, Islam is all about justice and equity and fairness. It's not about doing dodgy business with anybody. It's about being straightforward with people, honesty and sincerity. This is what the teachings of Islam teach us. In this next hadith, that is by Abu Humayd ibn Sa'd as-Sa'idi, radiyallahu anhu, and the hadith is found in Bukhari and Muslim. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he employed a man from the tribe of Al-Azd named Ibn Lutbiyah as collector of zakat. He's a collector of the zakat. And when the employee returned with the collections of zakat, he said, O Prophet of Allah, this is for you and this is mine. This is for you and this is mine because it was presented to me as a gift. You see, he's now like a government worker. The Prophet ﷺ has appointed him to work as a collector of the zakat. And obviously some people have given him maybe, we call it a tip or a gift. Have given him a gift. This is for you and this is mine because it was presented to me as a gift. The messenger of Allah, he rose to the pulpit, to the minbar, and he praised Allah and he extolled him. He then said, I employ a man to do a job and he comes and says, this is for you and this has been presented to me as a gift. Why did he not remain in the house of his father or the house of his mother and see whether gifts will be given to him or not? In other words, the only reason why he got this extra money is because he's working in this particular field. And then he says, by Allah, in whose hand is the life of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if any one of you took anything wrongfully, he will bring it on the day of resurrection, carrying it on his back. I will not recognize any one of you on the day of resurrection with a grunting camel or a bellowing cow or a bleating sheep. He then said, then he raised his hands till we could see the whiteness of his armpits. Then he said three times, O Allah, have I conveyed your commandments? So here it's talking about accepting gifts. If you work for a government department, okay, if you are given a gift, then that gift, you are not entitled to just take it for yourself. Because as an employee, especially when you're in that office or in that role. So what you need to do is you need to present it to the person who's running the show, or I don't know what you want to call him here. But it's up to them, that person, to either distribute it amongst the employees or to give it to you. Okay? So this is something to keep in mind. But what I want to say is the taking or the accepting of bribes is not allowed in Islam. Don't bribe anybody and don't accept bribes. It's haram. The next hadith, okay, is a hadith whereby we learn about payback time. Payback time and when it happens on the Day of Judgment. It's the hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu wa arda, and it's found in Sahih Bukhari. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, he who has done a wrong affecting his brother's honor or anything else, let him ask his forgiveness today before the time, in other words, before the day of resurrection, when he will have neither a dinar nor a dirham. So, he said, if he has done some good deeds, a portion equal to his wrongdoings will be subtracted from them. But if he has no good deeds, he will be burdened with the evil deeds of the one he had wronged in the same proportion. So this hadith, brothers and sisters in Islam, it tells us that if one does not compensate a person who has been harmed by one and has not been pardoned for it, then it would have a serious consequence when? On the Day of Judgment. Whereby you will have to give that person from your good deeds, and if you don't have any good deeds, or you've run out of good deeds, you take on the sins and the burdens of that person. That's how it happens. In the next hadith that is found in Bukhari and Muslim, hadith Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhuma, who reported that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, a Muslim is the one from whose tongue and hands the Muslims are safe. Al-Muslimu man salim al-Muslimun min lisanihi wa yadih. Wal-Muhajiru man hajara ma naha Allahu anhu. And the Muhajir and the immigrant is the one who refrains from what Allah has forbidden. So a true Muslim is one who does not harm people. A true Muslim is one who does not harm people, neither overtly or covertly. Okay? This is something to remember. Muslims, people need to feel safe from your physical harm and from your verbal harm. This is from the characteristic of a believer. What about stealing? In the hadith of Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, radiallahu anhu, also, it's found in Bukhari, a man named Kirkirah, who was in charge of the personal effects of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he passed away. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, he is in the hellfire. And he's destined to the hellfire. And some people went to his house looking for its cause, and found it strange. And why is he going to the hellfire? And they found a cloak. They found a cloak that he had stolen. So stealing and breach of trust fall in the category of a major sin for which a person may be consigned to the hellfire. Be careful. Another hadith that I want to share to do with theft is the hadith of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu that is found in Sahih Muslim, that on the day of the battle of Khaybar is the battle against the Jews. On the day of the battle of Khaybar, some of the Sahaba of the Prophet, some of the companions, they came and they remarked, they said, such and such a person is a shaheed, is a martyr. So and so is a martyr. And so is a martyr. When they came to a man about whom they said so-and-so is a martyr, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam declared, no, I have seen him in hell for a mantle or a cloak which he has stolen. So, subhanAllah, even though that you may be a martyr, okay, or even though this hadith tells us that the rights of people will not be forgiven even by martyrdom, okay, as a result of misappropriation, okay, so very, very serious. Now, another hadith that encourages paying back your loans and not delaying and not causing oppression by not paying back the loans is the hadith of Abu Qutada radiallahu anhu, and the hadith is found in Sahih Muslim, whereby the Messenger of Allah said, faith in Allah and striving in His cause, jihad, are the deeds of highest merit. A man stood up and said, O Messenger of Allah, tell me, if I am killed in the cause of Allah, will all my sins be forgiven? The Prophet ﷺ said, yes, if you are killed in the cause of Allah, while you are patient, hopeful of your reward, and marching forward, not retreating. Then the Prophet ﷺ, he said to him, repeat what you have said. The man said, tell me, if I am killed in the cause of Allah, will all my sins be remitted, yani forgiven? He replied, yes, if you are martyred while you are patient, hopeful of your reward, and march forward without retreating, unless if you owe any debt, that will not be remitted. Angel Gabriel told me so. So in other words, we know the status and we know the merit and the virtue of being a mujahid and being a shaheed, dying on the battlefield, dying for the cause of La ilaha illallah, right? But if you die in that cause and you have debt, that debt is not remitted. You will be accountable for it. So it's very, very important not to oppress yourself and oppress others when it comes to debts, when it comes to debts, treat them seriously. Let's look at now the bankrupt. Who is bankrupt? Okay, in Islam. And this is a question that the Prophet ﷺ, he posed to the Sahaba. And he came to them. This is the hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu wa arda in Sahih Muslim. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, أَتَدْرُونَ مَا الْمُفْلِسِ. Muflis means the one who is bankrupt. أَتَدْرُونَ مَا الْمُفْلِسِ. Do you know who is bankrupt? And so the Sahaba, they said, the bankrupt among us is the one who neither has money with him nor any property. If you don't have any money, you don't have any property, you're bankrupt. And then he said, the real bankrupt of my ummah, of my people, would be he who would come on the day of resurrection with salat and siyam and sadaqah. You know, he prays and he gives his charity and, you know, his zakat and he does his fasting, etc. But he will find himself bankrupt on that day, as he will have exhausted the good deeds because he rivaled others, brought calumny against others, unlawfully devoured the wealth of others, shed the blood of others, and beat others. So the good deeds will be credited to the account of those who suffered at his hand. And if his good deeds fall short to clear the account, their sins will be entered into his account, and he would be thrown into the hellfire. That is the one who is bankrupt, al-muflis, on the day of judgment. Remember what we said earlier, the Prophet ﷺ said, اتَّقِ الظُّلُمْ. Beware of ظُلُمْ. Beware of oppression, for it will be darkness. فَإِنَّ الظُّلْمَ ظُلُمَاتٌ. ظُلُمَاتٌ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. Oppression will be sheer darkness on the day of judgment. The next hadith, the hadith of Umm Salama radiallahu anha, this is an interesting hadith. It talks about, you know how some people, they come to a judge, and some people are more eloquent in their speech than others. So they are able to use words in such a way to manipulate the situation so that they can look as though they are in the right and the other person is in the wrong. Listen to the hadith. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, verily I am only a human, and the claimants bring to me their disputes. Perhaps some of them are more eloquent than others. I judge according to what I hear from them. So he whom I be my judgment, give the undue share out of the right of a Muslim, I in fact give him a portion of the hellfire. So here the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has explained through this hadith that he too was a man like others. Yes, he's a prophet, but at the end of the day, he's a human being. And that he was liable to judging by what he hears, by the tongue and the cleverness and the eloquence of people. So basically the Prophet ﷺ goes about what you tell him. He doesn't have the knowledge of the unseen, except what Allah Azza wa Jal has allowed him to know about the unseen. So when you come in front, when people come in front of the Prophet ﷺ and mention and put forward their case, he's going to listen and judge accordingly. So if you were really, you know, cluey and clever with your words, and the Prophet ﷺ, he actually ruled in your favor when he should have, well, guess what? You have just allowed for yourself a portion of the hellfire. So it's very important to be truthful and to be honest and not to be deceitful. So this is yani, the hadith regarding this. The last hadith that I want to share with you is the hadith of Khawla bint Thamir radiallahu anha. She reported in the hadith found in Bukhari that the Messenger of Allah said, many people misappropriate or acquire wrongfully Allah's property, meaning Muslim's property. These people will be cast in hell on the day of resurrection. Again, talking about misappropriation of other people's or other Muslims' wealth. So, as you can hear, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, dhulam, oppression, is very serious. Beware of oppressing yourself. Because that's what you're doing. When you violate the commands of Allah, and you do not fulfill your obligations towards Allah, you have oppressed yourself. And beware of oppressing others. Because when you oppress others, you could be amongst those who will be bankrupt, the muflisun, on the Day of Judgment. So beware of oppressing others. Beware of the dua of al-mazloom. Beware of the dua of the one who is oppressed. Be careful. So much so, if you have oppressed somebody, you have spoken about somebody, you've backbitten somebody, slandered somebody, okay, spoken maliciously about them, then go and seek their forgiveness. Go and seek their forgiveness. Even if you have to give a gift or give money to that person just for them to accept and to forgive you, do whatever it's going to take. Because believe me, you do not want to be standing before Allah Azza wa Jalla having oppressed anybody. You need to redeem yourself in this life before the next life. And you need to be quick. Be quick. And subhanAllah, we don't want... There was an incident, a story whereby somebody was spoken about. Somebody was spoken about or backbidden. The person who was spoken about, he sent the person who spoke about him a basket of dates. He sent him a basket, of dates, and he said to him, thank you. He said to him pretty much, thank you for the rewards that you have given me. He said some other words, I can't recall the actual words that he said right now, but he basically thanked him. And what you have done me a favor. You've spoken about me, you've given me reward. So here, I wanted to repay the favor, with these dates. In any case, we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to protect us from committing any type of oppression, whether it's oppression towards Allah Azza wa Jal or oppression towards others. And we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to be from amongst those who will have light on the Day of Judgment. They will have nur. And people will have light. People will have nur on their faces. Okay? It will be visible in accordance with their piety and their uprightness and their righteousness. May Allah Azza wa Jal enlighten us in this dunya and enlighten us in the hereafter. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam wa sallallahu wa sallama wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad.